Good morning to each one of you. It's a blessing to be together, isn't it? Is it? It is for me. Shall we kneel together to pray before we start? Oh God, our Father in heaven, we thank you for this blessed privilege to be together. Lord, we've left a lot of things behind us this past week. We worked hard. There's a lot of responsibilities and a lot of things and cares, the cares of this life. And Lord, we do lay them down. Today we have met. Today we've met to come and share together, to spend this time in the Word, opening our hearts to you. And God, I ask in Jesus' name, would you speak to us today? Thank you for the brothers that have already been sharing. And I ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would take these couple loaves and fishes, and God, would you feed us? I ask, Lord, that you would speak to our mind and our heart. Help us to grasp what you're trying to say, and help us to make decisive decisions to follow you and to obey you. So, Lord, I just ask that you would help me, give me a clear burden, message, and help me to share what you've given me. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm curious this morning, how many of us here have someone that you know, and you know that they were converted, they were born again, you know they were walking with God, but today they've walked away from God? If you know someone like that, raise your hand. There's different ones, yeah, okay. I'd like to start out by looking at a little parable that Jesus gave about the 10 virgins, where I think we know that parable quite well, don't we? The parable of the 10 virgins, Jesus gave that, and he shared how there was 10 virgins. Can anyone tell me what virgins represent? Anyone? They're pure? Okay. And what did the virgins have? They had lamps. And what was in the lamps? Oil. And what does oil represent? The Holy Spirit and the lamps represent light. Okay. So, in other words, am I right in saying that these virgins had the life of Christ within them, right? They had the life of Christ. They had the Holy Spirit, and their lights were burning. How many of them was there that the lights went off? Five. And how many was there that the lights kept burning? Five. What percent is that? 50%. I scratch my head at times. I look in our community and people that I know, and I wonder many times, when Jesus gave this parable, he gave this parable to illustrate something, right? And it is my persuasion as I look at this parable that Jesus is saying that many that come to Christ and get filled with the Holy Spirit and have the life of God within, there's many that end up with an empty light without any oil. What happened in the end to those five virgins. Anyone tell me? What happened in the end? They were locked out. And that challenges me to the core. I know most of us in here have had a born-again experience and walk with Christ. Let me ask you another question. How many of the people, or I should rephrase it, will all the people that are born again go to be with God in glory someday? Will they? If they stay there. He that endureth unto the end shall be saved, right? And I'm challenged with those words many times as I look at my own life and I realize how easy it is for me, for my lamp to become dim, for my oil, which is the Holy Spirit, to run out. I realize that is very, very easy, and I'm challenged with that. Now, turn with me. I just want to read those verses in Matthew 25. If you want to turn there with me, we'll just read that together as an opening scripture. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, it says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish, took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. And all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, open unto us, open to us. And he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And then he goes on with another parable. And I say that to simply make the point that it's very possible that there are some of us sitting in here whose lamps will go out, whose oil will run dry one day before the day that Christ returns home. That's very possible. It's very possible. I would like to maybe just write the title of the message on the board. An independent attitude and spirit is the title of what I'd just like to share with. And I guess what I'd like to just share is in light of the realization that all of us have that within us, the ability for our lights to go out. I've sensed as I look back over the last 20 years of my life, I now look back and I'm challenged because I feel that I many times have had an attitude of independence in my own heart. In the brotherhood, as well as toward other churches. There's been an independence that I find within me. One of the reasons we come together on a Sunday morning is to be challenged and encouraged, to open the Word of God and to learn from it. If we, all of us families, just consider yourself being all at home, not having other brethren to fellowship with, and not having church service like we do here, but you just be at home. What do you think would happen to your walk with the Lord? Wouldn't it be very easy to just sort of you become humdrum, right? And so one of the reasons that we gather is to listen to the Word of God and be stirred up on the inside so we don't become like those five virgins. I'm challenged as I look at myself, and I will say that over the years, there has been brothers various times that have come to me and said some things to me that have been very, very hard. I know there's times that I have gone home after a brother has talked with me, and I've sat down with tears in my eyes with my wife and shared, and I've said these words, how can he say those things to me? And there was something within me that was pushing my brother aside. You know what I mean? Because I didn't really see the concern, or I didn't really... there's something within me that I didn't want to hear. I knew I was right, and I knew he was wrong. Isn't that how we often are? Many times when there's concerns and situations come from brother to brother, we know we're right and we know he's wrong. That's just often how it is. I found myself there being times when I felt like, brother, you just do your thing and let me do my thing. I've had that. And I've also, with that, I guess I've looked at some of our churches, our fellowship, churches we fellowship with, and in the past years, over the last 20 years, there has been an independent attitude with all of us. If I say with all of us, that's a general statement. That's a general statement. But I have sensed that. You know what? You know, someone asked me, what kind of a church fellowship are you from? We're independent, non-denominational. Have you had those thoughts already? You know, there's something in us that, you know, that's sort of the popular thing out there right now. We're independent, non-denominational. We do our own thing. Well, that's not just as churches, but that's also as individuals. But I have found in myself, and I feel like the Lord's been as the years have continued to go on by, he's been waking me up in some of those things on a personal level, as well as seeing the need as churches to have an accountability together as well. But I look at that and I look at what I have sensed in my own heart, and I've asked myself the question, why have I been there? Can anyone help me with that? Why have I been there? What is it that has brought me to that place? Or why is it that I've had some of those thoughts? Can you just help me? I mean, don't hurt. You know, you're not hurting me. Why have I been there? Yes. Pride. Good. Other things. Yes. Yeah. Want to protect my own thing. Why else? Why have I been at that place? Yes. Maybe I've been hurt in the past. Good. Yes. Reputation. Yes. Selfishness. Others? Those things are good. I feel those are the reasons, many of the reasons why I've been. There's something, I like to be independent. I find myself in leadership at home. I'm the kind of guy that, you know, tends to, if I feel something's the right thing to do, I want to go do it, you know. And many times I don't, I'm not as conscious of others, and you know, I'm independent. I want to do what I want to do, you know. But is that what God's will is in the local church? I'm just asking the question. Is that God's heart? Is it God's heart for us in the local church to have a whole bunch of men and women who love God that are on a little island by themselves? And you do your thing, and I'll let you go, and you just let me go, okay? And you let me go, and I'll let you go. Is that God's will? No, it's not. But I feel like I have been there. I know I've been there. And I know that there's times that I've been challenged, and I couldn't understand why my brothers would say that and think that and feel that way and all that. And yet, I look back over the last 20 years, and I look at some of the, and look at where I am today. And I would like to tell you that it's by the grace of God and the aid of my brothers that I am where I am today. Now let me ask you another question. Here recently, I heard this statement. This statement was told to me. It said, I was really seeking God about this thing in my life. And I was praying about it. And I wanted to hear from God. I didn't want to hear from man. And God told me that I should do this. Is that how it ought to be? Yes? It's not. Shouldn't we be hearing from God? Then what's wrong with it, Brother Paul? The body works together, yes. It's independent. It's independent. So, shouldn't we hear from God, Brother Paul? We should hear from God. But isn't that confusing? We should hear from God and our brothers. How does that work? God speaks through men. Did you ever read that those verses where it says that our dear brother Saul, when God struck him down with lightning, or with lightning, you know, lightning was, or there was light from heaven, and Saul fell to the ground and God spoke to him. And, he said, God, what do you want me to do? And one of the things that God said is, I want you to go to the house of Ananias and or whoever it was, and I'll send someone to tell you what to do. Why didn't God just tell him what to do? He said, I'll send someone to tell you what to do. Well, all that to say, I don't want to diminish. One thing I'd like to do is I don't want to diminish at all us on an individual basis coming before God and hearing from God and having a connection and a walk with God. I don't want to diminish that one inch. That is utterly important. We have to walk with God and we have to be able to hear from God and have God speak to us and have that confidence that we can hear from God. And I know of various situations where men have fasted and prayed and sought God, and it seemed like God said, yes, go do this, and then the doors closed 100%, and men have said, can I even hear from God? I know people face that at times. But I guess I'd just like to open this door that there is a need in a local brotherhood to be able to hear from God and then to be sensitive to our brothers. And have our hearts open to our brothers and sisters where there's a sharing and there's a communicating and there's a giving and taking to where we can hear what God is also saying to us through our brothers. I'd like for us to just, with that, there's another thing that I'd also like to share first. I have family. I have family, close relation, who I have seen who were clearly walking with the Lord, and today they have gone out into left field, it seems like. And I've asked myself the question, what's the cause of that? What's the cause of that? And I believe part of it is not being open to brotherhood, and part of it is a lack of really walking with God and having that connection, vibrant connection, that fervent connection with God. I believe it's those two things. I'd like for us to just consider. I want to read some verses soon. I'd like for us to consider these two things. Wheat berries. Are you all familiar with wheat berries? Okay. I didn't bring my grinder along, but at home we've got a grinder. And at home we you know, when my wife wants to cook, she doesn't take these wheat berries and pour them into a bowl and mix it with the other stuff. Why doesn't she do that? Why doesn't she just use these wheat berries to bake? Anyone? It wouldn't work. Why not? Why wouldn't it work? That's right. these little wheat berries are very independent, and they wouldn't mesh. It wouldn't, I wouldn't want to eat the cake that you all bake. I wouldn't want to eat the cake that you all bake if you'd use these wheat berries rather than flour. But what happens? You take these berries, and there's a whole bunch of wheat berries. Whole bunch. Watch, or I'll pour them out. There's a whole bunch of wheat berries here. And my wife, she pours them into that grinder. And there's this whining going on. And I'm glad these wheat berries don't have any feelings. But there's this grinding going on. And this grinding. And each one of these wheat berries loses their identity. And they become powder to where they can easily be baked. You use flour for a lot of things. But this is the result, is some nice, fine powder. You know, you're very familiar with flour, aren't you, ladies? And they've all lost their identity, and this is what you have. And isn't this a blessing? You can bake cakes, those good cakes, and you can do cookies, and you can do all kinds of things with this flour after those wheat berries have all lost their identity. After they've all lost their identity, you've got something beautiful that comes out of that. What happened if one of those wheat berries, or two or three, would say, "I'm not losing my identity. I am who I am." And it would go through the grinder, and it would stay in its original shape, that little wheat berry, and everything else was fine powder. And all of a sudden, you'd bake your cookies and whatever, and we'd be chewing those cookies, and all of a sudden you'd bite into this. What was that? There's something wrong. Something wrong. Turn with me, if you could, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'd like to read a couple verses. First Corinthians chapter 10. It says these words, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Here, the Word of God tells us that we are one bread. In Christ, we are all one bread. We are all one in Christ. I'd like for us to just consider that there is a need for accountability between brothers. There's a need for us as brothers and sisters to specifically give each other the right to speak into our lives. There's a need to do that. We say that publicly at times. We say, "Brothers, if there's something in my life that you see, would you please share it with me?" How many of you have done that? Most of us have done that. Do you really mean it? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'd like to just maybe consider a bit some of the things that I've seen and that I guess is a growing conviction in my own heart. And I guess I appreciate some of the things that we have been doing in our local brotherhood. There is a, I am endeavoring to just specifically trying to be open. There are various times that I have had, you know, like I shared earlier, brothers that have come to me and I felt like they don't understand me and they don't, you know, all those kind of things that run through my mind. But when I've become really honest with God, I have made a decision to just bring those things to God and say, God, what is it in this concern? What is it in this thing that you're trying to communicate to me through my brothers that I can learn from? And Lord, I'd like to just open my heart to that. I've been trying to do that. And in our brotherhood, we've been encouraging those things of having an openness one to another. An openness to where we can share with one another, where we can have concerns shared. And taking it a step further, as churches, 10 years ago, I know that there's many of the churches we fellowship with that there was a sense, I'm going to call it a reaction. There was many churches that felt like, you know, you do your thing, and you do your thing, and you let us do our thing. And yeah, we fellowship together, but, you know, everyone just does their own thing. Well, let me just tell you that as a result of that independence, it created a lot of independent people, a lot of independent families, a lot of independent churches that today are going a wrong direction. For that reason, as I've observed that and I saw the things happening in my own heart, I have tried to make specific decisions to open my heart, both on a personal level as well as on a broader level among other churches. And I guess I appreciate some of the things that I've been seeing on a broader level as well. There are brothers who have who are saying, we need accountability. There's various churches that are coming and saying, brothers, we're trying to find our way. We don't know how to do this. Can we just meet together to try to encourage one another as leaders? That's good. Or is it? there might be some here who say, well, we don't want to be like that church over there. Or we don't want to be like that other church over there. You know, we don't want to be that way. I'd like to tell you that we think we know better, right? I tend to think that way often. I tend to think that I know the best way. I'd like to just look at a couple verses here. First Corinthians chapter 12, if you want to turn there with me. I want to read verse 13 through 15. It says these words, "For as a body is one and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ.
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Here's a clear picture of a body functioning together. Brothers and sisters, you know, there's a whole bunch of brothers and sisters here. And some of you are heads, some of you are arms, some of you are fingers, some of you are legs, some of you are ears. All of you have a different function in the body. And it's the will of God that we listen to each other and are open to each other so that we can learn the whole will of God. It's not God's will if I hurt my hand, that my other hand just doesn't help it. Okay? It's not God's will. You know what this hand does? It immediately reaches over and helps it. If my eyes see something coming up, it tells the rest of the body, stop. Don't bump your head. And I can go on and on giving those kinds of illustrations, and I think you're familiar with that. But my point is, we need to start functioning as a body. We need to specifically open our hearts to each other and listen and have an openness so that we can be a help and a blessing one to another. There's other verses that we can look on that, but we need to move forward here. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, I'd like to read. But I'd like to just ask the question, how can we as brothers have a right heart and attitude and be open? I'd like to just show some scriptures to you that will hopefully enable us to do that. It says, be of the same mind one to another, mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Be not wise in your own conceits. What that's saying is, you know, all of us have opinions. All of us have thoughts of what we think is best, and that's not wrong. But it says, don't lift yourself up to where you think this is it and the other ideas and thoughts don't have anything to give to that. Be not wise in your own conceits. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. In verse 5, it says, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind, or that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. Earlier we read that verse about submitting one to another. I'd like to just make it very clear what submission is. I think at times that we have a wrong idea of what submitting ourselves one to another is. We feel like if there's a brotherhood decision, or if, you know, whatever it is, a brother, you know, whatever it is, we feel like if we don't agree with it, we're doing something wrong if we do something that we don't agree with. Let me give you an illustration, and I'll just give you say all of you as brothers agree together that it's wrong for me to shave all the hair off my head. And, this young man right here
I don't know your name, but say you just don't see that. But you're a part of the church, okay? And I don't know you at all, that's why I can speak. Okay, but you decide that, you know, there's nothing wrong with me to shave my head. But as a church, you know, you've discussed it and you look at it and you look at that as a fad. You look at the principles of God's word, and you know, you look at 1 Corinthians 11, you look at various things, and you just see that that's a wrong thing. Is it wrong for you, young man, to submit yourself to that? If you don't agree with that, you know, you're convinced that it's okay, right? You're convinced there's nothing wrong with that. Is it wrong for him to surrender that against his will? No. Well, let me just take it to something else that comes a little bit closer home. You brother, you don't have a mustache, okay? Now, if the brotherhood would decide that, you know, you need to shave, you know, you're not supposed to shave this off, and you know, this is, you know, I'm just using this because we're not doing that. But if the brotherhood would decide that this is, you know, you're supposed to have a mustache if you have a beard, but you would feel like, you know, you really don't want a mustache, would it be wrong for him to raise a mustache even if he feels like, I don't want one? Would it be a right thing for him to surrender his will in that? It would be a right thing. It would be a right thing. It would be a right thing to just surrender. Okay, you know, those are, you know, wild ones. Okay, but there's a lot of other things that you face as a brotherhood to where things come up in brothers' meeting and you sit there and you're just not agreed with where things are. And yet, as you discuss it in brothers' meeting and various things, you almost feel like it goes against your conscience to do that. Or maybe it's a preference or whatever it is. I like to just tell you that submission is surrendering something when we don't feel like that's where I am. That's submission. And there are times that we need to surrender and submit our wills in things even if we don't feel like that's really where I am. If we can see the direction of the church is going, you know, the overall direction of the church is going in the right direction, and there's these preferences, there's these things come up, I'd like to suggest to you that we need to lay down some of our independence and just simply open ourselves to brothers in many areas that many times we just, you know, that's not where I am, but we surrender. I'd like to tell you that if we start surrendering ourselves and have that heart and attitude, there are things going to happen in your brotherhood in a good way. They will. But it's God's will that we lose our identity. There's times that a brother might come to you and say, "Brother, I've got a concern over here. I've got a concern. You know, just consider this." And we say, "Oh, that's, I never thought about that." And it's, you know, it goes against your will and all that. I like to suggest to you there are times when you specifically need to lose your identity and lay down things that you desire. But let's look at some other verses. Romans 15 verse 14 says, And I myself also am persuaded of you, brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able also to admonish one another.
Hebrews 3, verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Hebrews 10, verse 24 says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." James 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9 says, "Use hospitality one to another without grudging." I know what that grudging means. Someone does something and you go, why does he have to do that? Have you ever felt that? Yeah, I confess I have. Okay, there's a brother that does something and you go, why does he have to say that, or why does he do that? That's what it means. Yeah, let me read that again. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. It means to murmur or mutter. Have you ever muttered against your brother? Why does he have to do that? James chapter 5 and verse 9 says, "Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door." Grudge means to sigh or to groan. Brothers, don't moan and groan against each other. I'd like to encourage us to bring us back to what we started with. We have that oil in our lamps, and our lamps are burning. And there's many whose lamps are going out. And I'd like to suggest that there are those among us here this morning whose lamps will go out unless we take specific measures to simply open ourselves to our brothers and listen and be challenged and not moan and groan about what our brother thinks about certain things, but be listening and learning and helping each other in our walk with God. And not esteem ourselves higher than we ought. Many times I hear something said and I have the thing in my heart that I have a different opinion and my opinion is better. I feel that in my own heart many times. And then I have to remind myself, how do I know that my opinion is definitely better? I need to hear what my brothers have to say, bring it together, learn together, move forward together, find the grace of God, live in victory, and have a proper respect for my brothers. I believe that the two reasons that many walk away from God is because they're not open to admonition from brothers. They're independent. And they don't maintain their walk with the Lord on a personal level day to day. May the Lord help us.